As I looked at this chapter and I looked at the text verse that comes out of this chapter, I thought that possibly tonight I would just read this whole chapter, Philippians chapter 3, and we would go through it as an expository type message and look at what Brother Paul is writing to us. Ephesians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I said Ephesians again, did I not? It's Philippians chapter 3, sorry. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I might win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk in the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. This chapter here speaks to us as Christians of an individual who was reaching for a goal. And I think tonight, as we look at this chapter, we want to see the steps that are involved in reaching that goal, in pressing toward that mark that we're all trying to attain. And as we look at this mark, the mark I believe that we're pressing towards is the pleasing of Jesus Christ our Savior, and to be pleasing to God. And the mark we could maybe say is our goal is heaven. There may be different ideas as to exactly what this mark is, but brothers and sisters, it all revolves around the obedience and the service of God. And as we go through our life day by day, we realize that there's many times that we miss the mark. There's many times that we come short of reaching that mark or that goal because we are lured aside, as we talked about earlier today, with those things that are all around us, and our focus gets off of the mark. You know, the individual who wants to attain a goal, they're focused on what they need to do to attain that goal. And there's not many things that will distract them. There's not many things that will draw them aside. And that's how we as Christians need to be. We need to be focused on the goal that we're trying to reach. Paul here says, he's writing to those people in Philippi, and he says, first of all, he says that he's writing to them some of the same things he had talked to them about before. And he said, you know, that's not grievous to me. Paul says it's not grievous to him to be repeating himself. Now, we as preachers, sometimes we get a little nervous when we start preaching, and all of a sudden we realize that what we're coming over, we're saying the same thing, maybe a little different words, but we're kind of saying the same thing. But you know, Paul says that's not grievous to him. He says, for you it is safe. So Paul says, I'm reminding you again. You know, I think it might be Peter. I should have looked that verse up, but you know, he's stirring up. He's stirring up the things that are there that remain. He's trying to fan the flame, and that might be what Paul was doing here. He was saying, you know, I'm writing to you, I'm telling you some of the same things I told you before. But that's important. You know, God said in the Old Testament, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, we're that type of people. We're like a bucket with a hole in it. And you know, it doesn't matter how big the hole is or how small the hole is. If there's a hole in the bucket and you put water in it, eventually it's going to be empty again. And you have to keep filling to keep that bucket full. And some of us have bigger holes than others do. Some of us forget sooner than others. Brothers and sisters, tonight, I'm probably not going to be bringing anything that you haven't heard before. I'm not be bringing anything new to you. But we need to be reminded. That's what Paul says here. It's safe for you. And he says, in verse 2, he says, beware. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. You know, those are things that we might not understand today. Beware of dogs. You know, we see signs posted around that says, beware of dog. Is that what Paul's talking about here? Them little four-footed things that go running around and barking, and some of them, you know, the hair stands up on the back of their neck, and they growl, and they slink around, and you're not quite sure, you don't quite trust them. No, that's not what he's talking about. But maybe he's talking about people that act that way. Maybe he's talking about people that are just that kind of person. You know, you can't quite trust them. You're not quite sure what they're going to do. I know that sometimes the Gentiles, the Jews referred to the Gentiles as dogs, and maybe that's what he's referring to, the worldly, the world and the things of the world. I don't know 100% what he's talking about, but I know it's something that we need to be aware of. We need to be watching. We need to be watchful. And I think there's many different aspects that we can look at here when he says, beware of dogs. I don't think, brothers and sisters, tonight that we can really fathom the need of our awareness of the things that are going on around us and the influence that they have on us. We need to be aware of what's happening, and we need to be aware of what it's doing to our life, to our Christian life. Because those little things can sneak in, just like those little dogs. They call them ankle biters, if I remember correctly. Those little dogs that, you know, just kind of yap, 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 yap. But as soon as you turn your back, they're coming in behind you and they're ready to snap. I've had experience with those already. But you know, there's things in the world today, and we think, you know, as long as we're looking at them and it's yapping there, you know, oh, that's a nuisance. But we turn our back, and we think we're okay, and we think everything's fine. Before we know it, there's something nipping at our heels, and we need to be careful. Beware of evil workers. Brothers and sisters, tonight, I think that comes a little bit closer home. I think that comes into the fact of those individuals who maybe have a profession. who maybe profess a godliness, but they deny the power of it. And we look at them and we see them and we're wondering, you know, well, you know, they're really good people. And maybe we read their books or we listen to their teachings. But we need to be careful because there's false teaching there. There's things that, yes, may be good, may be true, may be sound, and that's what throws us off balance. And we get caught up in the modern thinking and the modern age movement before we realize what's actually moving in upon us. Paul here says, beware of the concision. And that word concision is a word that we don't use a lot in our language today, but it means mutilation. Have you ever met somebody who can mutilate the Word of God? Who can twist it and it sounds so good? But when you stop and you think about it and you compare Scripture with Scripture and you think about the context that the thought is in, you begin to realize that they have mutilated Scripture. I think, brothers and sisters, tonight, that we need to be careful of who we listen to and what we listen to. We need to be sure that we know the truth. And I'm saying that to you tonight because I want you to be sure that I'm saying the truth. I want you to be sure that I'm staying by the Word of God. You know, I'm human, and I can be mistaken. And that is why the Bereans were so noble. They searched the Scriptures to see whether the things that were being taught to them were truth. And we can be lazy Christians, and we can just sit down, and we can listen to somebody speak or preach or teach, and we can go away. Yeah, that sounds good. Yes, that is really good. And we forget that we need to do our own studying and our own searching of the Scriptures to be sure that it's not mutilated. Paul goes on to say, he says in verse 3 there, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, tonight, I believe Paul mentions the circumcision here because he knows that the Jews were very strong on that. But he says it may not stop there. It needs to be more than just the circumcision. It needs to be more than just an outward show. But it needs to be worshiping God in the Spirit. It needs to be a heart issue. I talked about earlier today about the adherence to the discipline, the standard, the decrees. And if it stops there, what good does that do us? We need to have a heart condition that has been surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to have a heart that has been changed from that vile old man, that sinful man, that man of death that we were born with. We need to be changed to a living creature in Jesus Christ. All the outward forms that we can perform will never get us into the gates of heaven. It needs to be a spiritual experience. You and I tonight, as we sit in these pews, we dare not. We dare not put our trust in the fact that we are a part of a conservative Mennonite church. The only right that we have to enter the gates of heaven is because we are blood-washed saints, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if that is not your experience, my friend, tonight, you're on the wrong road. You have a false hope. Paul says we are the circumcision. Yes, we have that outward form, but we worship God in the Spirit. We have to, brothers and sisters. We have to have that experience. Then he goes on to say, we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That is where we need to come to tonight before we can press toward that mark. We need to come to the place tonight that we are rejoicing in our Savior Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in what we have accomplished. My grandparents were Christians. My grandparents were Mennonites on both my mother's and my father's side. My parents were Christians, and I was born and raised a Christian. I'm sorry, that doesn't happen. It doesn't matter how good our parents or our grandparents were. It doesn't matter how good a family heritage we have, although that is good. That is a help for us. But it doesn't matter how good they were. We were born sinners. We were born with a sinful nature. And it doesn't matter how much we were taught as children, which is all good. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to save us. We look at those people out in the world who are immoral. We look at the people who are drunkards. We look at the people who are drug addicts. We look at the people who are slaves to pride and selfishness and praise of men and riches. And we say, yes, yes, they need the blood of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, tonight, outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I were damned to hell just as well as they were. And we need the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. It's not good enough to be raised a Mennonite. It's not good enough to always have done the good things in life. Paul says, he has a whole list of things here. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He says, yes, we have confidence. We have no confidence in the flesh. He says, I might have confidence in the flesh. He says, if anybody thinks that they have right to the confidence of the flesh, he says, I more. And he lists a whole list of things here. And I know that I couldn't say the things that he said here. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews is touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He sounds like a good man, right? He sounds like a man that had it all together. He sounds like a man that was just following exactly what he had to do. And you talk about zeal. He says that concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And we have a little glimpse into that in Acts. When we see what Saul was doing before he was called Paul. We see what he was doing. He was so zealous about the righteousness that is in the law. And he was blameless in that. And he was so zealous in protecting that he was persecuting those people who were saying that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They're heretics. This man was proclaiming to be the Son of God. That's blasphemy. And they're teaching that. They're blasphemous. They're worthy of death. He was zealous to protect what he thought was right. But he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Brothers and sisters, tonight, if you were born and raised in a Mennonite home, if you were taught to read your Bible, you were taught to obey the Word of God, you were taught to obey your parents, you were taught the Word of God is the ultimate rule and guide for your life, praise God for that. But you need to count that as loss for Christ. Why do I say that? Because all that, as good as it is, and Paul knew the law, and that was good, but he had to lay that aside because he realized that outside of Jesus Christ, that meant nothing. And that's where you and I sit tonight. Outside of Jesus Christ, everything that we have been taught is nothing. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Where was Paul when he was writing this? If I have my facts straight, I think he was sitting in prison. He says, I count all things but loss. Paul here, I don't believe he was downplaying the teaching that he got. I don't think he was downplaying the effort that individuals put into his life to put him on the right path. I don't believe he was downplaying that. But he realized that without Christ, there was nothing, there was no value in that. He had to allow those things to point him to Jesus Christ. And when he came to that point, and he met Jesus Christ, and Jesus told him what he needs to do, he was willing to do it. He was willing to lay aside all those things that he counted righteousness. He was willing to lay aside all those things that he felt were good and find his goodness only in Jesus Christ and obedience to his word. And you and I tonight need to find ourselves in that place. He says, I do count them but dung. And what do we do with that? We don't hoard that to ourselves and keep it and say we want to keep a pile of that right here beside us, do we? We get rid of that. We throw it away. And that's how we need to do with those things that we hold dear to ourselves, and we look back and we pat ourselves on the back for what we've accomplished and how good we've been. We need to lay that aside. We need to get rid of that. And we need to allow Jesus Christ to be everything. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Where is your righteousness tonight? Where are you finding your righteousness? Are you a self-righteous individual? Or are you a Christ-righteous individual? You know, humility is one of the main things that is an ingredient in the Christian life. But so many times, oh, we wouldn't say it, but so many times we can say, well, I did something pretty good there, didn't I? And we can go to bed at night and we can lay there and we can just smile to ourselves and say, I did a pretty good deed today. Brothers and sisters, if we find ourselves holding that as righteousness and holding that as our goodness, we have nothing. We're empty-handed. It is only as we allow Jesus Christ to be our righteousness, only as we realize that as we go to bed at night, And we look back on the day and we see what was accomplished. We realize, like Jesus says, it was but our duty to do. It's only what's expected of us. We only did what was expected of us. We only did what our master was asking us to do. We only did what Jesus Christ, our Lord, would have done in that situation. We only did what God asked us to do. We were obedient to Him. The only way that we can be victorious over sin is by the power of God. And as we go to bed at night and we lay there and we think back over the day and we think of the victories we won and maybe some of the disappointments we had, but we think of the victories we've gained, we think of the temptation that we had victory over, we dare not think of how good we were. But we must think, and we must be thankful for the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives to be victorious over those things. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Not because I followed the church discipline today, but because I followed Jesus Christ. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul here is saying, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to have a relationship with him that is a living relationship. I want a relationship with him that I can experience the power of his resurrection in my life. I want the fellowship of his suffering. Brothers and sisters, are we willing to say that tonight? That we want to be that close to Jesus and we want to know Jesus that well and we want to be that much of a follower of Jesus Christ that we are going to suffer for him. We're going to be willing to allow God to take us through suffering, if that is his will. Being made conformable unto his death. Yes. Jesus Christ died for us. And if we give our lives to Jesus Christ and to God, for God to use to his honor and to his glory, I don't know what you're going to face. I don't know what God is going to call you to. And you probably don't know either, and maybe it's good you don't. But God will give you strength and grace day by day. He says he's willing to suffer, he's willing to be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's saying, God, use me. I want to live and die for your glory, so that I may rise from the dead, not suffer eternal death and eternal damnation, but that I may arise from the dead, that I may experience eternal life. He says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul realizes that that hadn't happened in his life yet. And we sitting here tonight need to realize that we haven't attained yet. We're still working. We're still pressing toward that mark. You and I here tonight have not lived our lives to the end yet. We're still pressing toward that mark. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Here he's saying, Lord Jesus got a hold of me. And I know I'm sounding like a Southern Baptist preacher maybe here. The Lord Jesus got a hold of me. But brothers and sisters, tonight, if the Lord Jesus didn't get a hold of you, then you need an experience with him. Because there's no way that you're going to get a hold of those things of God unless Jesus Christ got a hold of you. In your life tonight, Jesus needs to have a hold of you. And you need to be surrendering to that hold so that you can attain unto those things that we're looking forward to. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I don't look back. I don't look back at my upbringing and say, that's good enough. I don't look back at the zealous things I did and say, that's what's going to get me to heaven. I let those things in the past. Jesus Christ took care of those things. I'm looking forward. I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. I'm reaching forward to the promises that God has given me. God promised that if I am faithful to Him, He's going to be faithful to me. God promised that if I live for Him, He's going to give me the power to be victorious over sin and Satan. God promised that if I live for Him and He allows temptations to come my way, He's going to make a way of escape for me. God promised that if I'm faithful to death, He's going to allow me to enter in through the gates into that city. Those are promises that we can reach forward to. We can let the past in the past. Yes, maybe there's some things that we regret. Maybe there's some things that we wish we wouldn't have done. I'm sure Paul looked back to all those people that he helped put in prison and probably put to death. His mind may have gone back to the stoning of Stephen. I wish I would have never done that. But he says, I'm letting that in the past. I'm letting those things behind. And even those things that I could count gain for me, I'm letting those in the past. And I'm pressing for those things. I'm reaching for those things which are before. Then verse 14, our text, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters tonight, are we pressing for that mark? Are we like that athlete that is pressing for the crown, for the goal? Are we that runner that is running down the track and we have our eye toward the finish line? I am told that a good runner will never look behind him to see where his competition is. He will keep his eye on the goal. And brothers and sisters, tonight you and I need to keep our eye on the goal. If we start looking around and we start getting distracted by all those things that are around us, we're going to stray off the path. We need to keep our eye on the goal. We need to press for that mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do we realize the high calling that we have? The God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, the God that is above all, the only true and living God, the only eternal God that has called you and I. His Spirit has spoken to us, has called us into a fellowship with Him, has called us to be His son or daughter. How much of a higher calling can we have than to serve the only true and eternal God? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And that word perfect is different than the word in verse 12 when it says, either we're already perfect. That word perfect in verse 12 means perfection. I'm not perfect yet. This word here, as many as be perfect, in other words, those who are cleansed, those who are cleaned up, those who have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in them. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or be perfected, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Interesting that he brings that in here, that if there's anything in our lives, in our minds, that does not center on the goal, on the mark, God is faithful to bring that to our attention. Are we open to that? Are we listening for that? As we read the Bible, as we study the Bible, as we hear the word preached, as we hear the word taught, as we experience life from day to day, the Spirit is speaking to us. Are we open and receptive to that? Or are we closed? Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brothers and sisters, what I believe what Paul is saying here is, he says, live to the best of your knowledge. What you've already learned, what you've already grown into, maintain that. Don't let it slip away. Yes, we need to grow, but we can't forget those things that we learned before. We can't go out on a limb over here and forget about these things that are important over here. We need to have a balanced life. We need to continue to build on what we've already had. Then he says in verse 17, he says something that I trust that each one of us can say. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. Is our life so centered on pressing toward that mark that we can say that we are a safe example to follow? I don't believe Paul was boastful here. I don't believe Paul was saying, look at me. Look at me. You know, you just do like I'm doing and you're going to be okay. That's not what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, he says in another place, follow me as I follow Christ. And I believe Paul realized that there's that possibility that he might not be a good example all the time. Isn't it Paul that says that he needs to be careful lest after he has preached to others, I myself might be a castaway? Paul realized that there's continuance here. There's a continuation. It's not just a once and done thing. It's not, okay, now I've attained, now I can sit back and relax. There's a continual pressing toward the mark. It's now. It's tomorrow. It's the next day and the next. It's not something that we get done with. It's present tense. I press toward the mark. And he's saying, you follow me. You follow my example. And then verse 18 and 19 are in parentheses there, or in brackets. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Brothers and sisters, we have those type of people all around us. We have those individuals who live that kind of life. And Paul says, I tell you, even weeping, that there's people like that. And I believe tonight that unless we have that same sadness in our heart and that same yearning to reach out to those people and that same sorrow that Paul had, that he wept over those who were outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, I think tonight you and I need that same heart of compassion and love. He says, whose end is destruction? Do we stop and think about that? We meet an individual who is living a life of sin. And we look at them and we don't want to get too close. We don't want to get defiled. And brothers and sisters, tonight we need to look beyond that. We need to see beyond the sin in their lives, and we need to see them as souls for whom Christ died. We need to see beyond the filth. We need to see beyond the earrings and the long hair. We need to see beyond the undress. We need to see beyond the immorality that they're living in. And we need to see them as souls who are doomed to spend eternity in hell. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. That's all they think about. Things of this earth, things of here and now. That's their life. They're looking for fulfillment and they can't find any. They go from one thing to the other, thinking that they're going to be able to find something to satisfy, and they don't. They eat and they drink and they try and bring glory to themselves. But there's no satisfaction. Paul says they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And you know the sad part about it, brothers and sisters, is there's some that we know, some in our families, or some that we know that have been maybe a part of our congregation that have gone that way. And maybe for a year or two we remember them in prayer and we bring their names up at prayer meeting and we have a burden for them and after a while it kind of fades away and we start forgetting. Do we have a passion? Do we have a concern? Do we have a love? Do we have a longing, a sorrow for those who are in sin? Verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. Talks about those who mind earthly things, but he says our conversation, our walk, our talk, our thinking revolves around heaven, revolves around eternity. Brothers and sisters, tonight as we press toward the mark, is heaven, is eternity with God and with Jesus Christ our Savior our goal? Do we keep that in mind? Is that the paramount of our decision making? I must confess I stand before you as an individual who hasn't attained. But I know what the Word of God says, and I bring to you the ideals and the goals. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we looking for that return? Are we looking for Jesus Christ's return tonight? Are you sitting here in this church tonight thinking about the fact that someday Jesus Christ is going to return and gather his saints and take them to heaven? Do you think about that when you're out on the tractor or when you're in your workplace or when you're painting the house or whatever you might be doing? Do you think about it that Jesus Christ is going to return someday? And it might be very soon. We don't know. I don't stand up here and make professions of the day and the hour. But brothers and sisters, tonight it is promised in God's word that Jesus is going to return. And only those who are ready and watching and looking for him and prepared for him are going to go with him. Are you and I among those people tonight? Or do we forget to think about that? We're looking for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Brothers and sisters, I'm looking forward to the time when my body is going to be changed. I'm going to have a new body. And I'm going to be able to experience all the wonders and the glories of heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like. I know John tried to explain it to us. But I think it's going to be far beyond words that we can talk about today. Are we God's people tonight? Are we pressing toward the mark? Toward the high calling that God has for us? To be a holy people, to be a righteous people through the blood of Jesus Christ, to be his sons and his daughters, and to be individuals who are obedient to the word of God, and to be individuals who have our eye toward heaven and looking for the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when our bodies are going to be changed. Brothers and sisters, tonight, my prayer for you is that you're pressing toward that mark. And if we never meet again here on this earth, we can meet around the throne of God and praise his name forever. Let us kneel for prayer.